Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening again to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, last week we started looking at the first of those two tests of truth. And of course, the first test of truth is Jesus is Lord. Wow, let me say that again. Jesus is Lord. And also we looked at how the church at Corinth, in spite of being saved, cursed Jesus while continuing in their pagan practices. Now I'm not going to go over what I shared last week, and if you missed it, it was great, but if you would like to get a copy, just email me or give me a call and I could send it right out to you. But today I'd like for us to notice Paul did not tell them to stop offering to a false god an object devoted to destruction to appease the god's, you know, that god's wrath toward that person, which is what accursed means. No, rather, Paul warned them against applying this false pagan practice to Jesus and the Father. And we can see that in 1 Corinthians 12:1-3. Now, this ought to get our attention, my friend, for that pagan picture of appeasement is exactly the picture that many Christian denominations and churches have of our redemption. Many today are openly teaching that Jesus was the one devoted to appeasing God's wrath. For example, some of the most prominent, well-known teachers openly today teach that Jesus was actually saved, you know, saved us from his Father's wrath by bearing it all upon himself. If Jesus was accursed, then he was accursed not by the people, but by his Father. Is this what the Bible teaches? No, of course not. What in the world do these people think Paul is telling us? Well, that answer is easy if we have any type of spiritual wherewithal and a desire to see. Paul was telling us that any presentation of the gospel wherein Jesus is accursed, where Jesus is devoted to God's wrath, is not of the Spirit of God. And is not of the Spirit of God, then it must be of another spirit, or it is another gospel message that is not found in the Bible. And according to Paul, such a gospel as the Corinthians and so many other denominations that they teach are pagan. They're pagan. What? Nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to topics like this. You know, there is something about, you know, that natural man's thinking that demands that God be angry and wrathful and so filled with hate towards sin that Jesus must have been the one to bear all of God's anger on our behalf. Some folks have no other framework or no reference. To them, any other option waters down or denies the holiness and righteousness of God. But this is such a horrible picture of God and is not true. And it is the result of taking human reasoning and reaction and imposing it upon God Almighty himself. It is amazing as to what some Christian teachers attribute to God. But you know, if humans would treat each other the way that some Christian teachers say that God treats humans, wow. Yet, they never make the connection. The fact is, we are to have the mind of Christ. Wow. We are to be the one and only expression of Christ on earth. Therefore, however you picture God, in an attitude or action, you are saying, this is how those in Christ ought to function. Now, open up your spirit here. Our views of God directly reflect our concept in how we treat people. Let me say that again. Our views of God directly reflects our concepts in how that we treat people. Now, if we push this false concept of Jesus accursed, we will find it is a false redemption. And why? Well, if Jesus was devoted to destruction under God's wrath for our salvation, then we really have a redemption that does nothing to change humanity. But what we have is a redemption that actually changed God. By appeasing the wrath of God, Jesus would have changed God's attitude from anger and wrath over to love and grace. But humans would still be in the same need of redemption and a saving Savior. In Luke 2:14, the angel said to the shepherds in the field, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Did you get that, my friend? And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That word "toward" there means in the same direction of receiving. That angry God, that evil God, that mean God of the Old Testament was satisfied with the birth of his son Jesus Christ. His anger was appeased. It was satisfied and it was done away with. Now on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I hope you can see that, my friend. It was Jesus' birth, not his death. Something else special happened with his death, but it was his birth that satisfied or appeased God's wrath. My friend, if you cannot see this, then you have fallen into the accursed trap and attributed a wrong concept to the work of God in your life. Now, God did not change. He changes not. In Malachi 3:6, we read, "For I am the Lord," big L-O-R-D, big God, God, "I change not." God did not change. God doesn't want to change, but God wants man to change. Secondly, in Scripture we see John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." No, he didn't condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not by destroying sin, oh no, but by breaking the power of sin in our life. Christ came into the world not to destroy sin, but to break the power of sin in our life. In 1 John 3:8, John writes, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God," that would be Jesus, "was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." If Jesus is going to destroy sin, then he would have to destroy Satan. But God has a plan for Satan in years to come. But here we see that God did not love the world after Jesus died to appease God's wrath. Oh no, but rather God loved the world before sending Jesus, which is why God sent Jesus to begin with. I mean, do those who believe that these lies about God being a wrathful God, you know, maybe one day God, you know, himself was in a good mood and, you know, he worked things up so that he could just think about sending his son one day? Oh no. And I do not want to be sarcastic here, but the Bible clearly states that in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Clearly, God did not give his son to appease his own wrath. Certainly, that might change God toward men if we would buy into this twisted reasoning, but it would do nothing to change man toward God, which is the whole point of redemption to begin with. We can either take this even further. What did Jesus bear on the cross? Wow. His Father's wrath upon the sinner for sin? Oh no. On the cross, Jesus bore sin itself. Jesus bore sin itself on the cross. And indeed, Jesus bore the sinner. Jesus bore us. Jesus on the cross, something greater than any type of appeasement of God's wrath. Jesus bore our sin, the sins of the world, upon himself while he was on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing my sin and your sin, you know. Not Jesus' sin, but listener, your sin and my sin upon the cross. Wow. Without that work on the cross, then we would be lost in sin still. Like most church members, they do not understand the true, you know, in the true reflections of sin in their life and the true salvation experience through redemption and regeneration and justification, my friend. But this is what God wants in our life. Amen? This is what God wants in our life. He wants us to come into that understanding of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. More next week as we continue looking at the two tests of truth. This has been David Stahl. Amen.